I want to bring a lesson that I hope will be of benefit to you. I'm sorry that if you take notes, like Emma said, your title's too long. I said, but it's a good one. And I want you to think about what I'm asking. Would you be faithful without the influence of another? And so we're going to start in 2 Chronicles. We're going to go to our text. I've had the scripture reading in 24, but we're going to have to back up to make some observations so you understand where we're at in the account of things. And we're going to do that by going to chapter 22 and 23. And I'm going to highlight some things that you can take note of and you can look down and see for yourself. But the story begins with a brief account of some things that have transpired. Let's talk about Ahaziah. He is the king of Judah. We're in chapter 22. So as you recall, the kingdom has been divided. So we've got a king in the northern tribes, and we've got a king in the southern tribes. And sometimes, as I was going through this, I was like, I'm getting so confused. Because sometimes they have the same name. And that's one of the things that happens here, is we've got a lot of the same names. But this is Ahaziah. He is the king of Judah. So he's the king of the southern tribes. So he's in the lineage of King David. And this is where God, as we know, it is in the book of Ezekiel that those of the southern tribes, they hang in there a whole lot longer than the northern tribes did, but their sins were just terrible. Well, Ahaziah is a king, and his older brothers have been killed. So he's the youngest, and he is made king. But in verse 3 of chapter 22, it says, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. And so I want you to know that here is a king who is in the southern tribes, and Ahab is a king in the northern tribes, and we know how wicked Ahab was, and we know how evil he was because he was influenced by his very wicked wife Jezebel. But we learn that it says that he is walking after the ways of Ahab, the king of the northern tribes. And it says that his mother advised him to do wickedly. And I want to tell you, this is a horrible mother, to be advising her son to behave so wickedly. And her name is Athaliah. And we'll talk about her in just a moment. But it also says in verse 4, it says, therefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. So now you've got a king who is down here in the tribes of Judah, and his counselors are Ahab's counselors. You might be thinking, well, how does this happen? Well, in verse 9, we learn that Ahaziah is killed. And so verse 9, it says, then he searched for Ahaziah, and they caught him. He was hiding in Samaria and brought him to Jehu. When they had killed him, they buried him because they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat who sought the Lord with all of his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no one to assume power over the kingdom. So now, as I said, all of them have been killed. He is the youngest. He's now the king. And now there's nobody left to be the king because he's dead. Well, what do you think happened? Well, let me show you what happens. His mother, in verse 10, it says, is Athaliah. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaz, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. So Athaliah, this horrible mother that I mentioned, what a horrible mother that would advise her son to do wicked things. And now you have her, and she has all the royal heirs killed of the house of Judah. And you're thinking, what in the world? Yes, she's that kind of person. And then she takes the throne. So now you have, she is the one that's ruling over the southern tribes of Judah. So now we've got a woman sitting on the throne, and she has placed herself there, and she is a wicked person. Well, let me tell you about her and why this is important. You know who she is is she is Ahab's daughter. That's how all this happened. So look at this family tree, and you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. So Jezebel and Ahab, and then we have Ahab had other wives of many other children. This is his daughter. She's self-appointed queen of Judah. She was married to Jehoram, and they had Azariah. So this is her son that she is taught to be wicked, and that's why I say she's a horrible mother. She has now ascended to the throne, and she's had everybody killed that's of any kind of royal descent. So here she sits on the throne. And that's why it keeps bringing up the fact that Ahab and his counselors are involved, because, see, she's of that family. She's actually the daughter that has married the king in Judah, Jehoram. So now you kind of see a family tree. And so we've got, and sometimes these things were done for alliances and things of that nature. Let me show you how wicked she was. Look at verse 20, chapter 24 and verse 7. It says, now go to 24 and 7. So for the sons of Ataliah, that wicked woman had broken into the house of God, and it also presented all the detectable things of the house of the Lord to the Baals. Had also presented all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord to the Baals. So she breaks into the house of God. She takes all of the things in the house of God, and she gives them to the Baals. So she is an ungodly woman. Now, while she's... Now I want you to also see this. But Azariah has a sister, Jehoshabeth. And I want you to see what has happened. And... let me catch and make sure. Understand this. This is not a foreign nation. These are the Israelites. These are God's chosen people that are behaving this way. And so it really makes you understand how God would get very angry that here he has chosen these people to be his special people because of Abraham and all the fateful story that unfolds, and then you've got this type of behavior that's taking place. Now, while Ataliah believes she has destroyed all of the royal heirs, Joash, her grandson, has been hidden from her by Azariah's sister. So this would be his aunt has hidden her nephew, Joash. Look at verse 11. Then Amaziah strengthened himself, 24 verse 11. So it was at that time when the chest was brought to the king's official by the hand of the Levites. Must be back in 22. We're back in 22. We haven't got to where I want to be in 24. So we're back in 22. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Azariah, stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him as his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of a king, of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Ataliah so that she did not kill him. Now, I don't want to make this a confusing mess with all of the names, so I'm going to try to break this down because there's a really important point that I want to make, and that's what our lesson is this morning. So she thinks she's killed everybody, but Joash has been saved. And so now you have Jehoiada. And I told Dale he'd hear me pronounce it three different ways. But I'll tell you this. He did a really good job of selling the way he said it, but he was completely wrong. No, because, as you're going to see, I'll say it right six different ways. Jehoiada. Now, Jehoiada is an important person because what we're going to see is he is a godly man, and he's a priest. And so that's where we're going to get our good influence. So we've got Joash is still living. And after 6 years in hiding, look at verse 11 of chapter 23. they brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony, and made him king. Then Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, "Long live the king." And so that sets up our story of what we want to talk about now. Would you be faithful without the influence of another? That's the question that we're going to look at, and that's what I want you to be thinking about on your own personal level. Would you be faithful without the influence of another? Well, Athaliah is killed, and so she's now out of the way. When she hears as the story goes on, you'll see verse 12 and forward. You probably have a heading that there's the death of Athaliah. She hears that whole commotion of him being king, and she is killed. And now Joash is the king. So Athaliah has influenced Azariah, her son, for evil. He was not dedicated to the Lord at all. He let wicked people influence him. But as we all know, influence works both ways. Not only does influence work towards the good, it works towards the evil, it also works towards the good, which Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. Don't fool yourself into thinking otherwise. And so this is a situation where someone has been influenced by his wicked mother and by these counselors, and he has done the same type of wicked things as King Ahab of the king of Israel. And so he's been influenced in a negative way. But now let's talk about Jehoiada. Jehoiada the priest. And so if you'll look with me in chapter 23, so we're still in 22 and 23, and we're going to move into 24. But it's very important that you understand what I'm saying so you kind of get the story so you can understand the points that I'm going to make. In the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds. Azariah, the son of Jehoram, Ishmael, the son of Jehonan, Azariah, the son of Obed, Maaseiah, the son of Adlai, and Elishaphat, the son of Zechariah. Now, if I were smart, I would have never read that verse. He's responsible, Jehoiada is responsible for gathering all the captains of the armies and the Levites to set Joash on the throne. So he's the one that when this child has been hidden, and after 6 years, they now make him king. Now, in verse 14 of chapter 23, he is the one that ordered the death of Athaliah, the wicked mother. Jehoiada, the priest, brought out the captains of hundreds who were set over the army and said to them, "Take her outside under guard, slay with the sword whoever follows her." For the priest had said, "Do not kill her in the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and she went out by the way of the entrance of the horse gate into the king's house, and they killed her there. So he is the one who said, "We're going to get rid of this wicked woman." And then look at verse 16. Now again, this is a priest. You've got this young king, but you've got Jehoiada who is having these things done. Look at verse 16. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the people, and the king, and that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the temple of Baal, tore it down. They broke in pieces its altars and images, killed Mattah, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord to offer burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing, with singing, as it was established by David. And he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord so that no one who was in any way unclean should enter. Then he took the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, brought the king down from the house of the Lord, and they went through the upper gate to the king's house and set the king on the throne of the kingdom. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword. So what is he doing? He's tearing down all of the false worship, all of the images. He's restoring things as it was supposed to be in the law of Moses. This isn't the king. This is Jehoiada, the priest. And so what happens is the people tear all these things down and they kill the problem, and the temple worship and the burnt offerings are restored. That's verses 18 through 21. And so you've got things beginning to go in the right direction. And so what you see is you have Jehoiada, who is a godly man, who is setting things back in order, and he is the one that is influencing the people. But now let's come back to young Joash. So here you've got a godly man that's going to influence this very young man who is now the king. So let's talk about him for a moment. In verse 1 of chapter 24, Joash was 7 years old when he became king. How many 7-year-olds do you know can reign over a kingdom? That's why I said Jehoiada is the one who's taking things and he's putting things back in order, because here's a man that knows what they're supposed to be doing. And so you've got that young king, and he reigns for 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Did you catch that? All the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now that sets us up for what I'm talking about. The question again is, will you be faithful when there is no longer that good influence in your life? Jehoiada is Joash's good influence. Understand that. He did right in the sight of the Lord. And so what he does is he begins to gather the temple tax, which was, you go back in the law of Moses, and you read where Moses had said you're going to be paying the tax for the temple that was imposed by Moses according to the word of God. They're going to take that. They're going to start repairing the house of the Lord. They're going to restore worship and burnt offerings. Look at verse 14 of chapter 24. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada. They made from it articles for the house of the Lord, articles for serving and offerings. You remember, all that's been taken, stripped, dedicated to the Baals. And so they're making these spoons, vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. As long as Jehoiada was alive, Joash and the people are doing what is right. And so far, so good. But our question is, would you be faithful without the influence of another? So in this biblical story, Jehoiada the priest is the good influence upon Joash and the people. Now what happens? What happens? Well, as he has done all these things, Jehoiada dies. And this is verse 15. Now our scripture reading was verses 17 and 18. So we're about to where we were when Dale read our scripture. So there in verse 15, it says, Jehoiada grew old, was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both towards God and his house. Now that statement alone, I want you to understand of just how good of a man this is and what kind of influence he had upon God's people in the southern tribes. One thing that you'll see is when an evil king dies, and he's an evil king over Judah, which is David's descendants, they've got a place where you bury him. But when they're bad, they don't put them with those people. They don't put them in David's. They don't. But where is this man buried? He's buried where those kings should be buried. But they're not. Azariah was not buried where this man was buried. So that gives you an idea of the kind of person. Now this also kept reminding me of in the scriptures that the children of Israel at the end of Joshua's life, Joshua dies, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But the minute the elders who had served with Joshua and they all had passed away, guess what you have? The book of Judges. Sin, delivery. By the time you get to the end, everybody's doing what's right in his own eyes. As long as those good influence was there, well, their good influence has died. This king, this Joash, now doesn't have that godly influence. Now, what would you think should and would happen when you've been influenced for good? You would continue in that, but not so. And that's what's very sad. The answer is no. Will he be faithful without this influence? So let's read verse 17 now, chapter 24. Let's pick up again where the scripture reading was. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah with Jerusalem because of their trespasses. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to God, to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord, so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord. He also has forsaken you." So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness of Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, "The Lord look on it and repay." What in the world happened? Jehoiada dies. One godly man is gone. And the people are left to serve God, and they turn and start serving wooden images and idols. In verse 17, the king listened to them. The king should have said, "Listen to me. We are going to be faithful unto God. That's where I have been influenced." And understand the importance of that. And then, when God sent, look at that, Jehoiada's son. Jehoiada, the godly influence in his life, when God sends his son, Zechariah, to tell them and wake them up, as he does so often by sending prophets, they kill him. And then he didn't remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him. But he killed his son. Zechariah said, "The Lord look on it and repay." You know what that is? That's prophecy. Because you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 35? He says, "Which of the prophets have you not killed?" This is a perfect example of what Jesus was talking about. He says, from Abel to Zechariah, not the same Zechariah, but he says, from Abel to Zechariah, when I sent people to tell you what you're doing is wrong, you killed them. It's what the parable was in the man had went to get the vineyard, the things of his vineyard, and ultimately he sent his son, they killed his son. That was Jesus. Before that, he said, "I'll send a servant." They killed him. "I'll send a servant." They killed him. Well, here's one of God's servants, and it's the son of Jehoiada who had done all of these things to influence him for good. Now, what's our question? Will you be faithful without the influence? In other words, will your faith stand alone on itself? That's what you pray for with your children. That certainly has been my prayer. Their faith can't be my faith. This is a perfect example of being influenced for good. And Dale went the other way when he saw the title. I said, we're actually going to look at it from the standpoint of you've had a good influence, and then you go and you start doing evil. Josiah's faith did not stand when the godly influence of Jehoiada was gone. Now, will your faith, this is the passage that I was referencing, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Bechariah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Would you be faithful without the influence of another? That's the question that you need to answer. Will your faith stand when your parents have passed away? Will it stand after you've moved away? What if your spouse is gone, or that person of godly influence is no longer in your life on a continual basis? Will you be faithful? Will you keep on the narrow way? Let me give you an example. On the drive over here, I got a text and picked it up. Lisa read it. So the congregation I go to every year and have done this for I don't know how many years now in Ohio when I go back, Brother Ted Bowen passed away. His son is Mitch Bowen over here, elder at College View. His son is David, the orthopedic, I think orthodontist, right here, does the braces, right by the Dairy Queen. Brett is the dentist over in Russellville. This is their grandfather. This is Mitch's dad. He said, my dad passed away Thursday. I wanted you to know. That man has been the influence and the steady of that congregation for years. When I first went there, when we were in Michigan, living in Michigan, he and his brother, Leo, alternated the preaching back and forth. Brother Ted and his family have been members there. And I have to tell you, my first thought is, what's going to happen to that congregation now that that man's influence is gone? Will their faith stand without a godly influence? That's the question. And that's a real question. And it's one that we each must be willing to take a serious look at. Will you be quickly influenced to turn from the Lord without the influence of someone like Jehoiada in your life? Will you bring an evil influence into your life? Paul talks about that. As you move away from your good influence, how will you stand? Where will your faith be? Will you be faithful without that good influence? This is a perfect example of what we're talking about. As long as Jehoiada was alive, that king was doing great. But the minute he was gone, he was influenced for evil and he went that way. You might say he's just a wishy-washy. He's just a poll person. Whoever came and said, let's do this, he's like, okay, let's do that. One thing I failed to point out, and you may want to read through that, 22, 23, and 24. One thing that it says is the rulers of the people. So fellow Israelites, when Jehoiada was gone, came to him and said, let's do this. So that tells you a lot of what we're seeing and we saw in the book of Ezekiel when God was so upset with the rulers. When the good influence was gone, the rulers, leaders of those in Judea and in the southern tribes came and said, we want to do something different. And how quickly things can turn. I hope that's been helpful. I hope I've been able to break that down. If I threw up that chart again, you'd start seeing some of the same names on both sides, and it can get confusing for sure. But look at how there was evil influence, and that person was evil. You have a good influence. They're good for a while, but when that influence was gone, they went to the ways of evil things. The lesson is yours. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we extend an invitation to you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come believing that Jesus is the Son of God, willing to turn from your sins, willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and willing to be baptized to wash your sins away. If you're a child of God and something is amiss and we can help you, Tommy has selected this song. Let's all stand and sing.